What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and this is a new episode of Video Game Bang, brought to you by Energy Esports, the best esports organization. I'm actually wearing the jersey right now. Hey. Look at that. Hey. Also brought to you by Gamersups. GG, get your bump with Gamersups. Use the code VGB, get 10% off. The last one is the biggest one, the most one important to our hearts, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and or coffee. Go check out, get the Bang, what is it called again? What's the Bang Blast? VGB Blast?
VGB Berry Blast, VGB Blast.
How do you say it every week and you still can never remember it? Every time.
It's delicious. It feels it's like a blast of flavor.
They keep adding ingredients every time I go there. It's just like this show. It's just so full of flavor. Speaking of flavor, he's the man with the plan. Curtis, what's up, man?
Yo, man, I'm hyped up, man. Smash Ultra Lit is what I'm calling the next game. We're going to talk about it tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that. Also joining us on the show, as always, the man with the plan, Stan. Did I use that one twice?
Two men with two plans.
Yeah. David Webb. I'm going to cut to David Webb Cam, actually.
What's going on, everybody?
How you been, man?
I've been doing good.
You've been good. Stuck in a world of No Man's Sky, it feels like.
Yeah, I had to restart because I died. Well, I didn't die yet, but I'm going to die if I keep playing that game. I'm stuck on an island on a toxic planet with no fuel.
That sounds a lot like Earth.
Dang.
In the Overwatch community. Also,
big mood.
I'm coming out of gates hot today. And then she's here as always. She also has plans, I'm going to assume. But she's not a man, and her name is not Stan. It's Emma Skies cosplay. What's up?
You're just in a mood today.
I'm in a very good mood. You should know why. We have a very special guest on the show.
Yeah, why don't you tell me all about her?
She will get the biggest introduction. So David Webb and I, we talked about it before. We got to go to a sweet little shindig down in the bay called the Shadow Party, where we got very, very drunk. And I got very
you
drunk.
More so than me.
he stayed relatively sober as a gopher, but then I noticed her immediately when we got there. Because okay, honestly, when me and David got there, we were looking around left and right and we're like, all right, you know, we're contenders around here. You know, we're not just nobodies. Yeah. And then we see from across the room bright pink hair, zombie unicorn, and then my whole outlook changed. I was like, oh God, we are not
Are we here?
We are not supposed to be here.
What?
This is a star of Twitch. Welcome to the show. Yeah.
Hi.
Well, to your credit, you didn't make it feel that way. Like, it's not like, oh, she was the one ignoring everybody. You were great. How was your time at the Shadow Party?
You know, I had a good time. Yeah, I did. It could have been better. Not because of the event, but just, I don't know, it could have been better, I guess. But it was good. That was pretty fun. Fun little trip.
When you say it could be better, I mean, anything could be better. I mean, that's a weird way to look at life. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, there was just, I don't know, there was some, like, behind-the-scenes stuff going on that was just really kind of frustrating and stressful going on, and like, yeah.
Well, you held it together.
The actual event was great.
Yeah. Well, you held it very together. I mean, we hung out a little bit at the after party, which was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Learning from you. Talk to us about your humble beginnings in Twitch, and then how you became the zombie unicorn we know and love.
Well, you were talking about Smite a little bit ago before you turned on the stream, and I actually started streaming on Smite. I had a JTV account, but I never streamed. And then I had another Twitch account that I didn't stream on. But then I really wanted to get better at Smite, so I would play the game. I would play Smite, and I was like, and this is also how Zombie Unicorn came to be about. I'd go by my real name, which is Miss Casanova. You know, it's like what teachers call me or people being professional call me. And like in game, you know, you get pooped on a lot. And oh, by the way, can I curse or?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I get shit on a lot for having Miss Casanova as a name. So I was like, man, I want to make something else non-gendered. That's like, because when you think about it, zombie unicorn doesn't automatically scream female. Like the unicorn maybe, but the zombie doesn't. So yeah, I just changed it to that to like not get as much crap online for being a girl. And then I wanted to get better, so I started watching a streamer called Lionheart. And this was before he put webcam on or anything like that. And then started being a part of his community and playing with him. And then he started putting his webcam on. And he was like, hey, why don't you join my Skype and put your webcam on? You could be on my stream too. And I did that. And then he was like, everybody loved you. You should start your own channel. And I did. And then I have so many old friends from the Smite community. And a lot of them work for Hi-Rez now. Or a lot of them work in other games or like are pros in other games now. But that guy specifically, Lionheart, is Brian Grayson, who is the vice president of Hi-Rez now.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Dude, so, like, climbed.
All these old, well, yeah, he's a lawyer. So, like, I was talking about this earlier on my stream, but, like, all these old friends of mine from Smite are all, like, doing big things. And it's funny. We all see each other at events now. And we're like, damn, like, man, we're all still here. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, Smite is, I used to play, like, 12 hours a day every day.
No Hi-Rez way.
Used to have me
no
as their.
Shit. Who's your favorite pro team?
Have me on their I mean, I don't really follow the pro scene anymore, so I don't really have a favorite. I used to love Dignitas back in the day, but I mean, I don't know. I don't have a team now.
In your heyday, you didn't have like a team? Did you watch the pros, the NA, the EU guys?
But it was like any team that my OG friends were on. Okay. And like back in the day, like Lasses used to be, he's like an old friend of mine. He used to be on Dig. And then I kind of stopped following it, so.
Oh, yeah. Man. All right. That's crazy. So have you been to the Hi-Rez Expos as well?
No, I've never been to any of the expos. I know. I kind of stopped. I like played it straight, like nonstop and nothing else for like a little over a year and a half. And then like this magical thing happened where I started playing other games and I started growing my channel a lot. And I realized that I can't stick to one game anymore. And it's always been like something that I, you know, now I don't stick to one game pretty much ever anymore. And so once I started focusing on doing that, and I did YouTube full time at the same time back then. I don't really do that anymore. Screw all that. But I had no time, you know, doing like I would do like comedy skits and stuff on YouTube, not just like gaming and whatnot. And then I would do like streaming all the time. It's just like wore myself way too thin. So I didn't have time to keep up with the Smite community as much anymore. I really just kind of followed my friends.
That's pretty interesting. How did you do the, like, how did you make that transition? Because I'm assuming at one point you had like a real job, quote unquote, and then you started doing this stuff on the side. How did you transition to full time doing this?
It's actually really funny. I moved to California. I was in a Twitch partner, and I used to get more concurrence than I get now. It's crazy. But it used to be a lot harder to get Twitch partner back in the day, and like they would keep denying you even if you had 500 concurrents and stuff. But I moved to California, and I had to live with my parents for a few months before I could find my own place. And I was in San Jose working in San Francisco, so I drove an hour to work every day, and I got a flat tire. I worked at a yoga studio at like the desk, I got a flat tire one day, and I got stuck because the bolts were stripped. So I got stuck and I couldn't open, and the whole place was closed, and I was in so much crap. And they were like, we love you and all, but like, you got to get a job closer to you, or you got to move closer because, you know, this can't happen again. So we got to let you go. And I got fired, and I haven't been fired for a job since I was like a teenager. And I was like, oh God. And I went home, and that day I got accepted as partner on Twitch.
Wow.
So I was like telling my story to my stream, and I got like 100 subs immediately that night, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And it immediately became like my job, so I was like pretty stoked. It was like,
happened
on the same day. Like, that never happens, right? But
God is a woman, yeah. I'm telling you.
There it is.
All right,
Ariana. Well, there it is.
We're just staying topical. So you brought up a funny point. Like, I've been talking to some people about like Twitch streaming, and like we've been taking it a little more seriously recently. We would just do this show 2 times a week, and because of like a why not thing, and then we started cultivating a little community, and we're like, wow, these people are fucking cool, and they're nice, and they're giving us money. Like, why would they do this? And so we love the Twitch, and we've been trying to build that stream. And then I become like a student of the game since I've been at Energy, right? You start seeing all these other huge streamers, and you see little streamers go big, and you see big streamers go small. Yeah. And you're like, what's happening? There's a science to it. And there then is. One of the principles, which you completely throw out the window, is like focusing and specializing on single games to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, it just seems that it's way more difficult to start off as a variety streamer or to become a variety streamer because you just lose people in the games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if it's like a single player game or something new coming out, obviously, I think it's a good idea to focus on that game for like the next couple weeks. But I still take time to like do the games that I like on the side here and there. I'll be like, I'm tired of this game today. I'm going to play something else for the rest of the night. But for me, like I don't just do gaming. I do like makeup and beauty and body painting and random stuff. So I try to like mix in a little bit every week, you know? I don't know if I can do a body paint every week. That stuff is so exhausting. But I don't like, there's the body painting streamers like Kate Pike and NimblePixel and a few others. And I'm just like, man, that is so tiring to do this all the time. Because it's
and it takes like talking so to your. Yeah,
it takes so long. But it's not just like talking to your stream and doing the normal streaming stuff. And yeah, you might not be playing a game, but like you're painting yourself. And a lot of the times you're standing up and like it's just incredibly exhausting. So I don't know, I try to like keep my content like a nice mix of stuff, and I think that it's fine to focus on new games, like, or focus on one game. Like right now I'm trying to go all in on Realm Royale a little bit.
I've been watching you, so you've been part of these big tournaments. So have you done the Keemstar ones, or you just been in the high res 10ks?
No, just the 10ks. And I've said this multiple times, like kind of around, and I think it's, I don't think I would do, I'm not invited to the 100K. I probably would be if it was any other person my size, but I don't particularly like the host, and I don't like the way that he's done things. I've known him for a very long time, and he's not very, you know, he's not very well known for being the nicest of guys. He's kind of a malicious person at times, and I don't really want to participate. So I think I'm also not getting invited because I've said that, and then I also think I'm also not getting body because he feels that he's like, I doesn't want me around. So I'm like, all right,
interesting. I see, he's one of the dudes I haven't been able to meet yet, and even
but you don't know anything about him, or
I mean, I do, I know stuff and things, but I do,
I've known him a long time, like years and years. I used to be his favorite. You could probably like Google his name, hear his name and my name or whatever, and like I used to be his favorite female gamer or whatever. He called a girl gamer, but I don't like saying that. yeah, but
I feel that.
Like, I don't like the connotation, but I mean, he was like, he used to call me his favorite girl gamer and all this stuff, and he loved my content, whatever, and the vlogs I would put out. But I don't know, there's just one too many missteps and like really horrible. Like to me, I just see him. I used to be a journalist. Like I went to school for journalism, and like to call his stuff journalism would really just trigger me because clickbait. And he would try so hard to get a story by creating stories, and that's not, you're getting involved in it, and I don't like the way he runs his stuff. And obviously he's very successful at it, and I have to respect that, but I don't want to participate or support that.
How,
so that's why I don't even want to be invited if I was to be.
How he came on my radar is because I started growing a beard about a year ago, and I have an affinity for black hats as well, and so I couldn't go one stream without some dude coming in our stream and saying like, "Oh, Keemstar." I don't know. From my perspective, when I first found out about him, I kind of felt like, okay, you know, he just talks about YouTube drama, whatever. It doesn't really cross into whatever I do,
right?
And then he started hosting these tournaments, and he started getting people's strikes removed on YouTube or Twitch or something when they didn't deserve them, you know. So
that's crazy.
My impression was like, oh, this dude's out here putting in work, or, you know, trying to do some good
There's
stuff.
There's always money involved.
Drama.
There's always money involved.
That's the name of the show.
I mean, he'll probably
do that on purpose?
Say it.
You're smart, Curtis.
You're clever. What I'm here for.
You're clever, my friend. I'm sorry, Zombie. What are you saying?
Oh, no, I'm just saying he probably openly admits that too. Like there's always money involved for him, but that's fine. You know?
Yeah, but
it's just not my cup of tea is all, you know, I don't have anything else to say about him though. That's it.
So
it's not my cup of tea.
Back to the games though. You have been talking about Realm Royale. How do you feel? Like, why did you go in on Realm instead of Fortnite, for example?
Well, I played Fortnite before they had the battle. I sound like a hipster. I played Fortnite before they had the battle royale, right? And I played it for a while, and then I started playing Fortnite when they came out with battle royale, and I really liked it and stuff. But then it started getting really popular, and then, you know, it started getting harder. I really just can't get a good grip on the building. I've also never changed my default bindings, so I'm probably just an idiot. But I've been trying to play it. Yeah, I've been trying to play it more and get better at that, because I've been invited to some tournaments for that as well, and for PUBG and whatnot. But I don't know. I really like Realm Royale because, well, obviously not on purpose, but it's from Hi-Rez, so I really like the way that they made the game. And the way that, you know, everything, all the mechanics work and everything. And I really love my, like, my heart is still in MOBAs. And it's got that kind of MOBA MMO aspect to it with the classes and stuff and the abilities. So I get really excited with that. And I definitely think it's, like, I don't know, way more entertaining for me. I feel like it's something I'm going to be way better at than any of these other games. And, I feel like it's something I could get lost in for hours, and I do. So, like, I get super exhausted playing PUBG. It's like walking simulator sometimes.
Yeah.
And Fortnite, I suck at building, and I hate Bloom so much. So, yeah, I would just rather play, like, a decent shooter.
I feel like they're, like, their infrastructure is just better, too. Because when you look at a company like Epic, who has a lot of resources and now even has abundantly more with the success of the game, they still don't have that experience in running an esports league or an organization. And Smite's been doing it for, you know, 5+ years.
It's like with Epic, they just grew so fast that they weren't prepared to back it up.
Yeah. Hi-Rez built, like, just recently, this whole season was filmed in studios in Atlanta with this all brand new sets, all new, like, you know, their new campus or whatever is incredible.
Yeah.
And they were setting it up, I don't even think knowing how big this other thing was going to be, but then it just lines up, and their casters are already so incredible. Like, all those Smite casters are fire. Like, they're up there in the leagues with the FGC as far as, like, how hype they can get the crowd and stuff.
There's, okay.
And so they have that all built in already. Epic, their first venture, like, when they first tried to do their tournament, it ended early because the servers crapped out, and the casters were just a joke. It was just really bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm also a fan of the Realm. I think that's going to be, if any of these, like, battle royales could really take off and become something regular, I think it's going to be them, man. Just do.
Yeah.
So tell us more just about the life of a zombie unicorn. Like, what do you do every day? Do you stream daily? How does it? A lot of people who listen to the show aren't super Twitch familiar, so you kind of have to explain what do you do.
Well, I stream as much as possible, basically. So I try to stream at least 5 times a week, and usually at least 3 hours, and it's probably much longer than that. Like, today I streamed 9.5 hours, but sometimes I'll go on random trips, like last week, or sometimes I'll, like, have a random friend who wants to hang out, or, like, I try to have, like, a real life outside of streaming still. But I mean, right now it's mostly streaming. I will say that. Go ahead.
Let's go back to that point where you say, you know, I streamed for 9 hours, and then the cynic would say, "Oh, boo hoo! You know, you sat in front of a computer for 9 hours. I do that every day for my job." What's your counter to that?
My counter to that is I'm literally trying to pay attention to a game and be good at it and not suck. Listen to, you know, whatever few hundred people are talking to me, read what they're saying at the same time. Talk constantly, be entertaining, come up with new things to say, new things to talk about and discuss, pay attention to Twitter, pay attention to freaking emails I'm getting, pay attention to my two little dogs. Like, I mean, has anybody ever sat, like, that doesn't know anything about streaming, have you ever sat in a room and tried to talk to yourself for hours on end? It's literally exhausting. It's also, and it's also, like, detrimental to your health to sit down all the time, too, so... Yep. I try to go and work out at least 4 to 5 times a week.
You are ripped. And that was one of the things I noticed at the party. I think you flexed or something. I was like, I'm definitely not arm wrestling her. Because I will look so bad when I lose.
Before all this internet stuff, I used to be an athlete most of my life. So I really wanted to, I gained a lot of weight gaming and being this, you know, having this be my full-time job. So I really wanted to, like, get back and, you know, try to be healthy before it gets too late. I'm like, not too late, but you know what I mean? Like, it gets harder. I'm 31, so, like, it's starting to, like, get harder. I'm, like, hitting plateaus still.
What? You said you were an athlete. What did you play? What did you do?
I swam competitively for 10 years, and I also played every other freaking sport out there for a while. Like, just, I probably softball longer, and then I did volleyball and track, but then I even did, like, tennis for a little bit, but, like, I don't know. And basketball. I loved basketball, but I swimming was, like, my sport, and that was ridiculous. I never realized how incredibly good it is for your body until I got older, and then I realized how quickly my body degraded. I had a six pack and I was like ripped, and as a teenager and like early, like up to my 20s, and then the gaming started, well, like the online gaming, the streaming started over 6 years ago now, so it was like 25, yeah, right? And then I just started gaining weight.
So you're an OG Twitch streamer. What do you think about the community and the just Twitch as a whole today, as opposed to when back in your day, when you came up?
I was around Twitch for a while before Amazon. And I was interviewed for an article, I think, with Polygon a year after Amazon bought it. And I will say some different stuff than I said in that article, because I was like, yeah, I don't really see them messing with too much. And, you know, they're not changing a lot, and they're doing things that are improving the platform from everybody. And they still are, of course. There's tons of stuff that Amazon has incorporated, but I think it's definitely, I mean, I think it was a few months ago, they laid off a bunch of OG Twitch staff, like friends of mine I've known for years. Yeah. And it's like people who you would never think would get laid off ever. And it was like, they're all like, we're on to different things, and that's cool and all. But like, at the same time, it's like, whoa, like, half these old OG people I knew there are gone. And it's kind of scary, because that just means that that was like kind of the heart of Twitch for me. And then, I mean, obviously they're doing more corporate stuff, and like, I think that they've done a lot of good, though. I think it's still more good than spooky corporate stuff, but you could see it slowly changing to be, it's taken a few years now, but now we have like all these things we've been asking for. Like, we finally have sub gifting within this last whatever year, and we have, I don't know, some other things I can't think of at the top of my head right now, but we've got all these other things that we've been asking for like years. Finally, Amazon's like implementing them. Finally, things are happening, which is great. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think it's been changing for the good, but it is sad to see them kind of rip out some of their core staff like that. It was kind of.
Do you think, like, as far as your average Twitch streamer, like your average just stream maybe a couple times a week, it's harder to like become successful, or do you think it's easier?
I think it's easier to become successful now, because they have those steps for you in place. You got the road to affiliate. You've got the road to partner. And you don't even have to have 500 concurrents. And back in the day, you had to have 500, and you still might not get approved. Like, it was pretty... We had to stream 12 hours a day in the hill, uphill both ways in the snow. Like, no, it really was harder. And there was a lot less viewers, concurrent viewers, than there are now. A lot of people say that it's harder now because there's so many streamers and stuff. But as long as you do your research, you try to be unique and original, try to keep it interesting, keep, you know, you don't have to, you know, some people want to put on a character, that's great, you could try that, but I say just try to be yourself, and, you know, maybe be yourself once you've had a good coffee in the morning, like that kind of energy. Like, obviously, perk it up a little bit. People like, you know, a little bit more energy. Or if your thing is being super stoned and chilling out, then just be that all the way. Just be yourself. And I think that if you are unique enough, because not everybody's cut out to be this, you know, not as far as like a career or anything like that. And that's something that you got to just accept. Not everybody's cut out to be in the entertainment industry, you know?
Yeah.
True.
Everybody wants to be in it, but not everybody, but like, you know, a lot of people do. And you can do it with hard work and dedication and consistency, which is something I've always struggled with. I would be a lot bigger if I was a consistent streamer, that's for sure. But I
looked like when you you know, as a good host does, I have to do my research on a guest. And were you affected at all by like the big policy and rule changes they started implementing recently?
Oh, no. I was a big proponent of that. I was really happy to see that. And I'm happy to see it, because it's helped a lot of people act right.
Have you like, have you noticed this? Like, what's your experience?
Oh, yeah. Oh, just yesterday or the other day, some affiliate girl was like harassing me in my chat, and like then on, I'm in this like Facebook group with like 40,000 other people. It's like a Twitch streamer Facebook group. Mm-hmm. We used to network and like promote and stuff. And she started going, I banned her in my chat, and she started going all over my posts there and stuff and saying really nasty mess of stuff about me. So then I took screen caps of all of it, submitted it, reported her. She came back on like alt accounts in my chat and did all that. And then she got banned. She got a 24-hour ban for it. And it's like, sad thing is she came back and did it again. So the next time she's banned for good. But most people, if that were to happen to them, they might, you know, take a step back and be like, man, I probably shouldn't be acting like this, you know? So all these new rules, like with off-site harassment being taken into consideration, and like, I don't know, the restreaming of content and stuff like that, because a lot of times people used to, there's the IRL category, right? And yeah, a lot of times when that first came out, people, like bigger streamers especially, more malicious type streamers, like would look at these other small streams in the IRL section and just kind of tear them apart.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I've seen
that was like a trend for a while, but like now if you do that, you can get your channel banned for restreaming somebody else's content and stuff like that. And I don't know. I think that as far as like the attire changes, like they wanted people to be, you know, like what would you wear in public kind of thing, that's never affected me. I actually I was talked to by someone about the changes before they happened to see what I thought about them, and I gave them my honest feedback. They didn't like change anything because of what I said, but they just wanted to run it by me and see, because they know that it's something that I've been around a long time, so they just wanted to see my opinion on it. And I was aware of it a while before it was released, and I was like really happy about it. And I knew like from the beginning, because there was tons of people coming into every girl stream saying, you're about to get banned on Twitch for having boobs. And it's just like, no, we're not, actually. That's not the problem. So it was really nice to see that. And it was kind of like, hey, so you know how these rules are in place and there's no sexual content? Well, if I'm not banned and you've probably reported me 100 times, maybe you should just accept that my content is not sexual. I'm just a girl with boobs. Get over it.
How much of your appeal do you think comes to the fact that you like, you know, a lot of people say, I have no filter. I mean, you have like very little filter, and you like, even on this show, you've said some stuff that I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to end up on a Keemstar subreddit tomorrow. Like,
No, like I said,
you're bold.
I'm gonna go back to that. I respect, you know, his hustle.
Yeah,
say that.
But you don't
I
back
just
don't down.
I don't want to be a part of his stuff, and he knows that. I don't think it's really anything that he doesn't know.
Yeah, but you, like, but just to have those the cojones to just jump in there, and, you know, you don't hold back and don't really back down to anybody. Has that been like a do you think a hindrance or a help to like where you are?
I think it may have been a little bit of both. I definitely think that in the past, like when I talk to trolls and stuff like that, I don't talk to them really anymore. Now I'm just kind of like, wow, that was really dumb of you to say. Now you're banned.
Yeah.
You know? But in the back of the day, I used to like talk shit to them back and like be real sassy and stuff. And that definitely was funny at times. And then sometimes it just really, detracted from my content and whatever. So I've like taken a huge step back from doing that, because also like, and I know this, and I knew this. I've taken different approaches to trolls and stuff like that and dealing with confrontation online. And one of them was to completely ignore it in the very beginning, which was very hard to do. And then I started doing the sassy stuff. And then I started going back to ignoring it. And now I'm just kind of like a quick reference, like, nope, that's not okay. Banned. You're gone. So it's a little bit of ignoring, but it's also acknowledging the fact that what they did was not okay, so that everybody else knows it's not okay.
Emma, you know. Emma is a streamer. She streams consistently, and like,
I try.
What's your philosophy on it? Because I've been in your streams and seen you react a few different ways.
I mean, I take the same approach that you have now. Or like, I acknowledge it for the most part. I acknowledge that they said something. I immediately ban. Like my bar for who to ban is so low. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, because my thing is like, this is my space to be, you know, this is what I'm spending, you know, 3 to 7 hours a day doing. I'm not going to sit here and listen to you shit on me and just be like, oh, well, maybe if I don't ban him, like, he'll be nice. Like, no, I'm just going to fucking ban you. I don't want you here. And like that guy that came into your stream that was like, make her unban me and like donated $5. It's like, don't like donated $5 and the message in it was please unban me. And like the fact that you want to, the fact that you want so bad to come back makes me know that I don't want you here.
It was, yeah, he came into my chat and was like, I was on his side, man. I was advocating a little bit. I thought maybe he'd learned from his past transgressions.
He can go learn in somebody else's stream.
That he was ready to make a change. And then he comes into mine, he's like, damn, I could have swore the $5 was going to work.
You swore wrong, man.
He put his whole, he would have hedged his whole life. If you had asked the man to bet his house on whether he will get unbanned.
He don't know Emma. He lost it all.
He would have lost.
I give everybody a second chance now. I unban everybody on Christmas Day.
Really?
Oh, that's really cool.
Everyone in my channel gets up. It's a lot, but...
Is the day after Christmas a really hard stream?
No, it's not. And people have come back, like, like a couple months ago, somebody came back and realized that they were unbanned, and they were like, oh, I'm not banned anymore. And it's like, yeah, I guess you got unbanned on Christmas, bud, and you haven't been back since, but don't mess it up.
Right.
And they didn't. And, like, some people do that and come back, and then they mess it up immediately, so I just get banned again.
Do you notice particular games more toxic as far as, like, you know, having to ban people than others?
CSGO?
Shocker. Do you want to think about that
probably
for a second?
Probably Overwatch when I played Overwatch. I don't play Overwatch anymore.
Really? You caught flack on Overwatch?
I mean, I feel like any game where people take it super serious.
Okay. You know? What about Minecraft? Have you experimented in Minecraft?
Oh, God. I used to be a Minecraft YouTuber.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I used to do lots of Minecraft videos. And I never made content for children, and that's why I stopped, because I realized that no matter what, I would always get children. But no, I mean, yeah, it was kind of toxic and weird, but it was more just weird. It's just more just weird. So that was another reason why I really had to leave. I was like, no more of this weird crap. Like, I'm good.
So you were punching those trees for YouTube. What were you? What kind of content? You said it wasn't for kids. You were like,
I would play with friends and we'd do like mini games and stuff, or just like having a fun time. And then I would do like machinimas. You know, machinimas?
Oh, wow.
So I'd like write skits and do machinimas and stuff. We'd do series and whatnot.
Curtis, can you give us the definition of machinima, please?
I was about to ask for the definition the definition of machinima.
Webb, do you remember?
I know what it is, but I want to know what you think it is.
Oh, you do, don't you? Oh.
What does Emma think it is?
Emma knows.
It's what Red versus Blue was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when you use the game to create a show.
So what were you like writing comedy skits and like there were storylines?
Yeah. I did some comedy stuff and like a little bit of drama mixed in, but it was always mostly comedy. Yeah, we did some weird random stuff.
Are you like a theater nerd or what? Because like usually it's not just a thing people start doing is like, oh, I'm going to do comedy. I'm going to start writing sketches for video games.
I did theater in high school, but
that counts.
Not like I probably wouldn't consider myself a theater nerd. I think I just when I started doing YouTube for fun, like other people introduced me to machinimas, and then I would do like some voice acting, and I really liked voice acting and I wanted to do that more. And then I realized you could kind of do both with machinimas. And then I actually, back in the day, I was dating somebody who was part of a comedy group that would do like skits on YouTube, and I was in a bunch of their skits in real life. And so I just wanted to do more of that content on my own channel, but I'm not like a trained comedian or anything like that.
In a way you kind of are, and you make your living off it.
Yeah, but I couldn't, like, do stand-up. I couldn't, like...
It's different skills.
...write a joke. Yeah, I couldn't write a joke, you know, like a real joke anyway. I don't know.
Tons of comedians suck at stand-up.
Dad jokes.
Look at Donald Glover.
Yeah, for real.
That was one of the worst stand-up acts I've seen, but he's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Wrote 30 Rock, got, you know, Emmys and shit, like... Yeah. And he's Childish Gambino.
Yeah, incredible musician. But yeah, no, that stand-up was atrocious. Stand-up. I had to turn it off.
Tuck.
Oh, it is Huck. It's definitely not tight.
No, it's definitely not tight.
My favorite thing about that stand-up, though, is his he has the crazy ex-girlfriend, crazy ex-boyfriend bit.
Ooh, I don't even know if I remember. I don't know if I got that far.
How, like, every guy has, like, a crazy ex-girlfriend, but women don't have crazy ex-boyfriends because they have a crazy ex-boyfriend. You're going to die.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Holy
like,
crap.
And, like, he delivers it so well, and he does, like, the crazy
Yeah, with those eyes. Yeah. I do remember the crazy
That's
eyes.
That's the only thing I remember from his stand-up.
Right on.
Well, I think we're going to go into the next segment of our show. Do you feel any which way about theme songs?
Oh God.
Do you think,
Which particular one? The weirdest question.
I mean,
I think she's probably ever been asked.
Because if she like,
that's not true. She's on Twitch.
No, there's theme song aficionados out there. Trust me, I belong to a couple Facebook
guild.
Yeah, I belong to a couple guilds.
So we gotta give her some backstory. So Corey loves making theme songs for segments. Like it's a passion project for him, and sometimes they're okay.
And sometimes I perform them live.
Oh, no. Oh, my
God. Webb is telling the... Emma's telling it. Webb can tell it, too. Do-do-do-do. 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 Webb's telling the news.
Wait, can you hear the music, or is all you did all you hear was
it's Corey? Acapella. I can
hear
music.
It.
She can hear it.
I can hear it.
On a scale of 1 to 16, how would you rate that theme song?
I would rate 16.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would rate it.
You don't have to be nice.
13.
Hey,
that's pretty good. Yeah, that's all right.
I would have settled for 10.
We're never gonna hear the end of that.
Twitch go. Yeah. Next week it's gonna be the Zombie Unicorn approved theme song. Brought to you by Corey Vincent.
Yeah.
TM.
Exactly.
TM. Yeah.
So David Webb, you put together some mighty fine stories for us this week. Where do you want to start us at?
You know what? Let's talk about this one. Cause I put this one in especially for Emma. I was pretty excited about this one. The CW, have picked their Batwoman.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Could they pick?
Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose. All right.
All right.
Emma.
Why? Why CW?
It's such a, okay.
Okay.
Do you know who she is?
I'm aware.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I'm not happy.
Oh, ouch.
Because she's a terrible actress.
I've only seen her in Orange is the New
Black. I know why you guys think that I would be excited, because A, Batwoman, and they cast a queer woman to be a queer woman.
I didn't even know she was.
I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that.
Okay, right on.
That's not
why. You didn't know that?
No.
No.
It's like, what rock are you living in? Right? That's why you know Ruby Rose. But anyway, it's great that they cast somebody queer to play a queer character. Please cast somebody who can actually act. My God.
Hold on, wait, but time out, though. What, you might be asking a little too much. This is a CW show.
Everybody has said that to me. Right. This is not an excuse.
Right. Now, if it was a Batwoman movie, I'd be like, you know what? Emma's got a point. This is a CW show. Like, she is gorgeous. She's going to fit in with all the Robbie Amells and everybody else.
I mean, the fact that she is a gorgeous person is great. The fact that she is an androgynous icon is great.
Yeah.
You can find somebody that fits that and can actually act. That's all I'm saying. And they'd probably be cheaper because you don't know who they are.
So
she's kind of like a Kristen Stewart in a sense, right? Like that's her acting.
Yeah. She plays the same. Like she doesn't act. She plays Ruby Rose. Like she has the same demeanor, the same character, the same line delivery.
I've only seen everything. I've only seen her in Orange is the New Black. And so that's all I had a reference on. And it just seemed like that was the character. Like that's just her. Okay, so that's just her. So if I go watch, was it The Meg? I'm gonna get the same.
Exact same person.
John Wick.
Exactly.
John Wick too. Yeah.
Yep. Same.
It's strange that I don't know. Because I don't really care about TV too much. I don't take time to really identify if someone's a good actor versus a bad actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only ones I notice are bad are the ones that everybody just tells me are bad.
Yeah.
Like William Shatner or like. I don't know. Who's another really bad one? I don't know.
He's a god.
There we go.
He is a god, but not a god of acting.
So, to be fair to CW, it's not 100%. Okay, this sounds dumb, but it's not 100% sure that she's going to be the one for the potential TV show. Right now, she's been casted for the crossover.
Would not make sense to recast it.
It would not make sense to recast it, but it's not like that's not unheard of.
I don't know. It's just, I'm so excited for Batwoman, and then you give me this.
Maybe she'll surprise you.
I mean, it is CW.
Honestly, if she can prove me wrong, fucking fantastic. I would love it. I am not rooting against her.
Yeah.
I would love for her to fucking turn it out, take some acting lessons.
Wow.
Figure her shit out. Like,
go to acting college.
Because I know the character that she plays in all of them, and I'm like, that's not really Kate.
No,
it's probably going to be the same thing. I mean, I don't want to knock on TV too hard, because we are living in an age of some of the best TV ever. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, truth be told, if we're looking at the talent pool, the TV side doesn't necessarily get the most talent. So it's not like chances are she's probably not going to be paired with the greatest director to really pull the performances out. But then again, I'm going to preface, this is a CW. I mean, literally the only character that I felt, there's two characters that I felt like, actually, not even two characters, there's two actors that I felt like really gave the character some justice, and that was Manu Bennett for
yes.
Deathstroke. He was incredible. And the guy that plays Harrison Wells on...
Tom Cavanaugh.
Those two are like brought great acting to really strong characters in comics. But, I mean, even Stephen Amell and all, I mean, like, they're not really good actors. And
wow,
actresses.
How dare you. Season one Stephen Amell is amazing.
Season one and two, incredible, but it's not...
The Green Batman.
Yeah,
he's so brooding.
So brooding.
Zombie DC Unicorn, Universe. Do you watch all these CW TV shows? Are you a TV person?
I watch TV shows. I don't watch the CW, though.
What are you into? That Game of Thrones?
I mean, I watch everything on Hulu or Netflix, but...
Yep, that's my shit.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, into all the HBO stuff and like, oh man, some Fox shows, they canceled one of my favorites.
Which one?
Gotham.
Last Man on Earth.
I love that show.
I know.
Oh my god, you are.
That show was too good for Fox, though.
I was really hoping it gets picked up somewhere else or something.
I'm surprised that it didn't.
They left it on that cliffhanger.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they didn't rush through it because, you know, that would suck. But hopefully they do something one day.
Oh, man. You just made my day. You just made my day.
I started singing the song.
I know.
I like hated it in the beginning, and then I'm like, yeah. Closure, that song?
Closure.
No, they do a karaoke duet from Once.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Corey's
yeah.
Corey's like obsessed with it now, but he refuses to listen to the actual show Once. You would love it.
Okay, maybe I found my duet partner, but I've been wanting, you know, I do these theme songs, right? We've established that. I've been trying to look for a duet partner. For that Once song, do you think you'd record? Maybe would you duet with me?
You don't have to.
You don't have to say
like,
yeah.
You'd
only break my heart.
I'll do it.
Yeah!
Oh snap!
Huge!
Actually, no, this is great. It saves me. Yeah, Emma
bails out.
I'm OD. This is gonna be so hype. All right. I don't even want. Can we end the show now? Just so we can start recording. I mean, I'm so enthusiastic about this project. What's the next story, David?
Let's talk about IGN plagiarizing.
Oh, thank you.
Yikes.
Thank you.
So there's a channel, Boomstick Gaming. They did a review on My Dead Cells, which actually looks like a cool game. And I watched the video of the guy who was. It was a side-by-side comparison of his video and then IGN's video. There were some parts where it was like, okay, I could see how somebody else can come to that conclusion. These are not uncommon phrases to use in a gaming review. Like, I get it. But then there were other times where I was like, oh, that's a word for word.
Yeah, and even like, similar delivery, too.
Similar delivery.
Jeez,
like,
it's like the
my favorite,
like the Black Eyed Peas or something.
Yeah. my favorite bit was like, it's like that meme where they're like, can I copy your homework? And like, yeah, just change a few letters so it's different. But like, he would say the exact same line. He's like, this game is X, Y, and Z. And then the IGN guy would be like, this game is Z, X, and Y.
Yeah.
Like, just, he just like,
he Yoded it.
And like, puts them in different order. And he's like, this is fine.
This is a great game. A great game this is.
It's embarrassing.
Like, what?
Oh my God.
The way the guy did it was pretty tasteful because I'd be pissed too. Good on him for recognizing it and standing up for himself. And he made a video that was just like the title of it was "Help." I think IGN just plagiarized me.
Perfect.
Because he didn't like his own platform wasn't huge.
Yeah.
But through this thing, it went viral that way. And that's what everybody's talking about. What's funny is if people listen to the show, they know VGB Jada, who was like an OG member,
right,
one of the first
yeah.
guests we ever had. Has been on countless shows. Was up head to head with that dude to get that job.
That's
like,
insane.
Did like 3 or 4 interviews, and I remember she was crushed when she didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And then this bastard goes and copies some nobody.
And the bad part about it is that's probably how he got the gig. He probably copied somebody else's work to beat out Jake.
He took my resume
and submitted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Man.
Oh, what?
Like, I made this. She has to do now is call up IGN and be like, hey, this wouldn't have happened if you hired me. And is she still available? And just be like, I'm still available.
Yep. Yeah. But I want double.
I hear you're in need of a new writer.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not a new copier.
Zombie, have you been copied? Are there like some imitators out there? Or have you had experience with that?
I mean, yeah, but most of the time it's just flattering. I don't know. There's some people who copy some of my stuff almost exactly, and that kind of pisses me off. So I'm like, change it. Like, I do these going live videos. Okay, so I like to say this because I've been around on Twitch for so long, and nobody back in the day used to, like, post selfies of going live and whatever. And because I studied, like, journalism, social media in college, I was like, I'm going to start posting, like, other media with my tweets and stuff like that. It'll get more people to come. So I started posting selfies. A lot of people started doing it. I probably wasn't the first one, but a lot of people, you know, I started doing more often. Then I started making GIFs of myself every time I'd go live. And then I started seeing more people doing GIFs and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, now I'm going to do something real weird. And I'm going to play some music, take a video clip of me dancing to some music and like lip syncing. And then I'll throw my Twitch stream on the thing over here. So I like my going live videos are always like, they take like an hour to put together, and I probably shouldn't do them, but I have fun doing them. So then somebody else started doing it not that long ago, almost exactly like what I do. Not the same quality, but I was just like, this is cute the first time. And then the next time they did it, I was like, all right, dude, kind of get your own thing. Like, or at least make it your own, you know, because you're doing exactly what I'm doing. And I've been... I don't know. It was a little annoying, but it's like, whatever.
My experience with copycats is it's all fun and games until that person gets more popular than you. then you start getting like, pissed.
Yeah, they were so small. They're not a threat or anything like that.
Exactly.
But,
I'm easily threatened.
Doesn't matter. Awesome.
Imitation's the highest form of flattery, they say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they say.
I know. I'd much rather have the money, but
yeah.
It's the laziest form of flattery.
Exactly,
it is. Show some effort.
I think payment is the highest form of flattery. Yeah. Like, if you want to take my shit, you can pay me for it.
Pay for it. Yeah.
Going back to that IGN thing, I did see an interesting counterpoint online. Yeah. I was just trolling freaking Reddit just to see what people were saying, and it's not like that original guy's review was earth-shatteringly like unique. Either.
No. Right.
There is a gray area to where, calling something a Metroidvania, something, you know, like those are just terms you're going to use, and they're describing the same game.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
They're, the order in which it's said can even kind of flow. You know, usually it's in sections. The graphics, you know, starting out with it'll take on 8-bit. You know, they say the same goddamn things all the time anyways.
Yeah.
I think reviewing for video games is so antiquated because you can just go on Twitch and watch someone play it and make the determination yourself. Like,
True.
I don't know.
There's still a market for it. I think the scandal was more that this big, large entity with tens of millions of followers or whatever is, you know, like lazily just taking from, you know, the smaller person.
Yeah.
I think that was more of the scandal of it all. Like, one, you're huge. You shouldn't have to do this. Two, you're picking from someone who is trying their hardest to build up their platform. So
people really like to get behind. And this is something I've been studying with social media, is that like the number one driver for engagement is to get that feeling that everyone has down there but just hasn't had an outlet to say, or give them like the perfect argument to like latch their names onto. And so like this is a perfect example. Like, we all root for the little guy.
Totally.
And this is the perfect situation where the biggest corporation ripped off the little guy, and we could look at it and say, ha ha, you know, we got you. You're not as good as us. And the all the influencers who are floating towards the middle are gonna wanna hype it because, you know, their brand is so much better than IGN's. And like, we kind of had that experience with Energy today. There's a video I've been wanting to post ever since the Overwatch World Championship.
Okay.
They played it on ESPN, and we covered it on the show, but a lot of mainstream outlets were covering it, and they were talking about how this isn't sports. You know, those guys came out of the locker room and started talking about, this is not sports. It dominated Twitter. And the official Overwatch League Twitter started clapping back.
No way.
Like, yeah. I was actually really surprised.
Yeah, like with GIFs and stuff. Like the one of Malcolm in the Middle, Dewey.
Oh, yeah.
He's like on a basketball rim and he's looking down at the, he says, the future is now, old man. And they posted that one. And then that GIF, it went viral and it hit me with the feels of like, man, this is so fucked up that people are still having this argument. So we put together a video this last week called Esports is Here.
Hey.
And we took Colin Cowherd saying like, esports is for nerds.
Yeah.
And
then
we cut to like Moth from our Overwatch League team, who's like, yeah, I'm a fucking nerd. Yeah. And then it goes to like the sold out of fucking arena. And then Colin Cowherd saying like, you know, how can you not make fun of video games? Like making all these stupid faces. And then we cut to like some of the most emotional moments of like Nairo getting his first win on Zero. And
you could really screw him up and you can throw in clips of Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics, who's a huge gamer, PC gamer and everything. You could throw that stuff in. De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, like, he's trying so hard to push that narrative, but the people within his own business that he has to talk about are doing this thing called esports.
Yeah. And
That's a perfect video idea.
One of the most popular videos we did. And we've done a lot of stuff that I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just hit people to where they're like, I want to show this to my fucking uncle who's like grilling me at Thanksgiving saying that, you know, I'm wasting my life. You know?
Right, yeah.
You know, so totally. People are tagging each other. It's like,
that's incredible.
It's blowing up.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. There's just something powerful about capturing what people are feeling and then putting that shit out there.
Just put that in the folder to throw in Uncle Jason's face at Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hey, Uncle Jason.
We all have that folder.
Hey, Uncle Jason. We all have that bastard uncle.
Oh, yeah. No, we totally do.
Zombie, does your family know what you do or understand it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't for a while, but once they started, well, I think what really, my mom kind of always supports no matter what, right? My dad didn't think it was a real job for a while. And then I was on I got invited, cast as a contestant on a survival reality show as the gamer. And they were like, what? You know, and they were like, whoa. And then they like saw me starting to travel the world and stuff. And they were like, oh. You know, so, and now my parents lurk in my channel and stuff. And
nice.
I wish they wouldn't, but.
So you were on a reality TV show?
Yeah, I was on another Fox canceled show. it was called Kicking and Screaming. It was on Fox and it aired last year. And
really? What?
It aired already last year. I could spoil it for you. Me and my partner on the show won.
What?
Hey,
I remember the show. Like, I remember the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's furious.
Yeah, Hannah Simone.
It's not the Will Ferrell movie, is it?
No,
it's
not.
So
it was from the creator of Wipeout and Fear Factor, Matt Kunitz.
Oh,
so
cool. Okay.
So I had Wipeout. To eat nasty shit and do some weird challenges and stuff, and it was pretty funny, but.
What did you think about like doing a show like that? How is that different, or how does your like popularity cross over? Did it boost like your popularity? Like,
it definitely did, but I could have done more. Like, I had a hard time because I did that show. I actually filmed it when I was single. There was a guy on the show, and we kind of flirted. Literally, nothing ever happened. But they kind of made it seem like something happened, but. They would have showed it if, like, anything happened. We never even kissed or anything like that. But anyway, I was in a relationship when the show came out, and my boyfriend at the time got very, very jealous. So me being, you know, in love, I kind of refrained from promoting it as much as I probably should have. And so I kind of missed my wave a little bit. But, I mean, they canceled the show anyway. And so I don't really know. I mean, I could have gotten more off of it maybe if they didn't cancel it, came back for, like, an all-star round or something like that. But... Fox is just notorious at not doing well with like advertising their brand new shows and stuff like that. So unless it's got like an all-star cast and it's obviously not a reality show.
What was the premise? You said it was like a survivor type?
It was 20 people, so there was 10 actual survivalists and then 10 novices who were like people like us that they assume don't go outside very much or like spend much time. And they cast me as the gamer, and then my partner was like a ex Air Force, but he was like a Boy Scout master. He was the oldest one there, and yeah, RIP Firefly. sorry.
No, but they partnered us, each of the novices, with like a survivalist, and then we had to live in the jungle for as long as we could. We had challenges every couple days and live in the jungle, live off the land. The survivalists thought it was easy peasy. Like, it's not like we had food or anything like that, but to them it was like not hard. But to us, we were like dying, you know, the rest of us. I actually really took a liking to it, though. I really liked, you know, at first I was really stressed out not being at home streaming or anything like that. Obviously, taking time off the internet completely, I was a little nervous, but I actually really ended up enjoying it quite a bit. And you could tell if you watch the show, like, I got really into it. And I think, I mean, I think I was like one of the strongest novices there. And so,
did they pick you slash a gamer specifically just to like lean on the stereotypes of like a gamer must never go outside or, you know? Or,
yeah, I think that's why they picked a gamer. But they, well, I thought it was really cool, one, that they picked a female gamer, first of all.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I think off the top of the head, they would have picked a guy. Yeah, they picked me. And then I guess they didn't expect me. I did train a little bit. I trained a lot before I went. So
well, how do you train for that? But I used to, like, well, the survivor stuff? You're trying to build fires out in the backyard?
No, I didn't do anything like that. I just mean, like, I worked out a bunch and built up my strength. But I used to be an athlete, so I always had, like, when you have been, you know, doing exercise and stuff all your life, even if you don't have muscle at the time, it's really easy to build it back. So I just trained a bunch before I went in so I could build up my strength again.
So talk to me about the show, though, like, because I grew up watching Survivor, and I used to always have that in my mind, like, one day I'm going to make an audition tape, and I'm going to go out there, I'm going to run the table on these clowns. But, like, you actually got to go out and do, like, a survival thing. How you always hear, like, oh, they're not really, like, you know, living off the land, or how real was it?
It was real.
You got some crazy stories? You have to eat rats and shit?
Oh, man, I could tell you, well, one of the challenges, we had to eat nasty stuff for sure. But I, outside of the challenges, we found cassava roots. We ate that most of the time. And then, like, we won some rice, you know, another time. other than that, we, like, for a while in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of food at all. And it was, like, miserable. And we just would fill up on water. I will say that they did give us water because that would have been really, it wasn't Naked and Afraid. One of the guys on the show was on Naked and Afraid, though, and he was a hardcore survivalist. But yeah, they didn't give us food or anything like that, and it was a struggle. But the nasty stuff we had to eat, I ate a live grub worm the size of a roll of quarters, and we couldn't kill it before we put it in your mouth. That was part of the challenge.
I'm Squeamish,
so I was like freaking out so bad. I was like, and then I ate like a handful of earthworms as part of that challenge. I didn't have to eat the boiled bat wing, but I heard that was the worst one because it was like, couldn't even chew it. I ate like a roasted scorpion another time. And then we did catch some sharks later in the show. We like moved locations. The first place was like a kind of like a forest area, and then the next area was kind of like swampy, and then the last area was the beach. Oof, it was much nicer. yeah, we finally caught some sharks. And
how do you catch a shark?
The guys did, but it was like a group effort, but they mostly did it. That's part of the thing. They learned, they're survivalists, so they have one of the things we won was we won some fish hooks and some fishing line, and that was it, nothing else. So like you put like connect it to the logs somehow, and you throw the logs in the water, and you kind of let it like wade out there, and then when you see it start to move, you like drag it in basically. And they caught a few baby like couple baby hammerhead sharks and then a bigger sand shark.
Wow.
We were like fed. We were like, oh, this is great.
So is that leading to any other opportunities? Do we get to see you cross over into some other shows, or did you make some good contacts at least?
I am not allowed to do another survival reality show for at least another 5 years or something like
that. That's an oddly specific like thing to put on there.
It's a non-compete.
Non-compete.
And then no,
even though the show's canceled,
really, I had some. Yeah, even the show's canceled. Actually, I should question about that. That's
yeah.
a good.
Yeah, it's got to be a clause in there. Yeah.
Yeah. But what was I going to say? I did have some people try to reach out and put me in a show, but they also wanted me to partially fund it. So it was like,
That's a big ask.
Yeah, no, I had to be really careful with all that afterwards. But no, I haven't honestly haven't done any other TV stuff since. And it, like I said, it didn't do as well as it should have. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe if like nobody thought we were gonna win, nobody thought, but we were the underdogs. So like a lot of the crew wanted us to win because we were like. We actually almost got eliminated the most out of anybody, but we made it. We came back every time. We had like the, it was great. I'm ruining this if you've never seen it, but like me and my partner got into an argument, like a big fight on the show, just butting heads. And then we came back together and we literally had like a comeback kid story where we became closer than ever and like just supported each other and like crushed it.
Can I watch this shit on Hulu? Like, where is it?
Yeah, it's on Hulu, actually.
Mm-hmm. We're watching it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about it.
Some embarrassing stuff in there, but whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly. Now that we're cool, like then I can watch it and be like, so when you put the worm in your mouth.
I feel like that one for me would have been like my line. I'm like, if I can't kill it before I eat it,
yeah,
not even for my own well-being, but I'm not gonna eat this thing alive. That's horrible.
Yeah, the prize for that one was like spending the night on a yacht with like all everything, food.
What? Oh shit, maybe I would.
Yeah.
And when you don't have food, you're like, everything sounds good right now.
I might do that right now. I ain't even on no island.
You're like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna get a hot cooked meal. All right, I'll fucking eat whatever you put
yeah, for real, on a yacht.
Webb, I think we got time for one more news story.
Let's talk about, I did one for Emma, this is one for Curtis, Super Smash Bros. Direct.
Yes, queen.
Man. We got 5 new characters. We got Simon Belmont from Castlevania.
Yep.
King K. Rool from Donkey Kong Country. Mm-hmm. And then we got Echo Fighters, Krom, Dark Samus, and Richter Belmont.
Oh, Richter.
Richter.
Yeah. Yep, Richter Belmont.
Nailed it. That's what I said.
Nailed it. it's funny, like, I'll say this. I was excited mostly just because I get to see Sakurai, like, move his lips and words come out. So that just like...
That's a treat for you?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, yeah, you can ask Nairo. Yeah. Like, ask Nairo what it was like to be Sakurai. Sakurai's like the Michael Jackson of, like, Nintendo. So... I was stoked just to see him like talk about it, but truth be told, I think the direct overall was a little overhyped. I'm not really that stoked about the characters minus King K. Rool.
Okay,
that's like the only one I was stoked about. Krom is cool because he's an Echo character, and well, in a way he is an Echo character, but he's like a mashup between like Lucina, who's one of my mains, probably my main next to Ryu, and then how am I forgetting the other characters? Ike. And's got a little bit of Roy inside of him too, so it's nice. But really the main thing, which was just like, you could have put this in an update and we would have been happy years ago, tournament mode.
Yeah, yes. Tournament mode. Yeah.
So every time I start a set, I don't have to go in there and change it from time to stock and the stocks and then how long the time and then turn on team attack. Not only that, but they went one further. Instead of just doing tournament mode, they made preset modes to where you can have your own mode and it'll save those different ones and you can recall those ones easier.
That's cool.
So honestly, I was down for the stages were probably the second or the third dopest thing to me. And then everything else, like with the music and stuff, that's always cool. But honestly, like when you're running sets, you ain't trying to sit up there and hold and play the music. You're like, bro, you just bodied me. Run that back.
Yeah.
And don't pick a song.
Yeah.
So that was my thing.
I think the biggest thing that came out of it was they fucking murdered Luigi.
Yes.
Well, Luigi technically been dead, but now he's dead.
They killed him.
Well,
like
did they though? Well, Did you see the tweet that came out not long
bullshit.
After?
The whole thing is bullshit. So it's Castlevania, right?
Yeah.
And he's in there with his little vacuum cleaner thing from Haunted Mansion or whatever, Luigi Mansion.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's running away from shit. And then a Grim Reaper comes out of nowhere and fucking cuts his throat open.
Yeah.
And, like, you see his spirit. Lift from his body and the look of terror on his spirit as he looks at his own body.
Yep. It's crazy.
It's morbid as fuck for Nintendo.
Did you see the meme though?
Oh yeah.
Did you see the meme where you made the meme? The Bale meme?
Yeah, that was my meme.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Hey, bruh. Dude, good job on
told
that.
Told you, man. I'm a meme lord. That's what I do.
The meme lord. Hey, but real talk, this is how Smash 4 died. Yeah. Especially with Evo.
Yeah.
The finals. We'll probably talk about that on the after show.
Yeah, we'll talk about it for sure. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Video Game Bang. Thank you even more to our amazing guest, Zombie Unicorn. Zombie, tell them about where they could find all things you.
Well, thanks for having me. Everybody can find me at pretty much the Zombie Unicorn with no E in zombie, because I'm an idiot. pretty much everywhere. I think, yeah, even Twitch redirects Twitch. Yeah, the Zombie Unicorn, no E in zombie.
No E. And then I heard you may be getting into podcasting. Is this something you're toying around with?
Oh, I don't know, maybe. I always just want to like sit around and talk and bullshit with my friends, so... Maybe one day.
Well, you have an open invitation to this show. You can use this as your outlet. So whenever you have some unsuspecting person you want to go dumpster or trash, like, we will help you do it, and we'll do it publicly, and we will shame them.
No.
Curtis, tell us where they can find your streams, man.
Man, I'll be back streaming officially tomorrow. I got my set. I got my setup. Back up SKIPNTOSH. So Skipintosh on the Twitch.
You gotta get ready for Ultimate, man.
Bruh, lab time.
When Ultimate comes out, that's how you're gonna make it.
Oh, absolutely.
You just start grinding that. Stream man. It. I'm a grind 12 hours
into the ground,
a day,
baby.
Get that big Zombie Unicorn host.
Oh, right. I'm made. My kids is paid for. College.
Made man.
That's right.
David Webb, your stream schedule.
I'll be back streaming on Friday night. I'll be doing a late night stream. Maybe No Man's Sky. Nice. Might be going back to that. Yeah.
I'll sign up for that.
Yeah. Twitch.tv / Webslinger.
Hey.
One.
Let's get it.
Say Webslinger 1.
Webslinger 1, because Webslinger's taken.
Meet me in the chat.
You're going to give Webslinger original like a dozen followers if you don't put that one.
Yeah,
I got
to put that one.
There,
yeah.
So, Emma, before we get to your stream schedule, I have to say your Instagram has been lit with all those new Tomb Raider photos.
Oh, yeah. Kudos. Well, I actually haven't posted any of them, so that was all on my story yesterday, so they're gone by now.
Oh, no.
But
they'll
yes.
be up there soon.
Yeah, no, I did a location shoot at Mirror Beach yesterday for Tomb Raider. I've got this fucking gnarly bruise now.
Hey. Because you had a real bow and arrow.
Cosplay is dangerous,
yeah. The bow I was using was a real bow and arrow, and it fucking knocked the shit out of my arm because I didn't have an arm guard.
The other thing about it, which was funny, is that you're doing these Instagram stories like in broad daylight in a car.
Oh,
like
yeah, there
other
was,
people
like,
around?
People at the beach. There were people there, and I was covered in blood.
Yeah, you didn't do just, like, regular Tomb Raider. It was, like, Tomb Raider after she
threw down.
Like, yeah. level 6 or something.
No, the way I did this shoot is that when we got there, I, like, put on the base layer of, like, you know, kind of dirt and grime and like, a couple bruises. And the more we shot, I would, like, every few, you know, sets that we changed, I would go put on more. It's like I do, like, all right, so now I've got a black eye, and now I've just got punched in, you know, my cheekbones cut open. I'm dripping blood out of my mouth. Like, it's all, like, by the end, it was, like, all over me. And so the very last shot that we did, I just, you know, got in the ocean and just threw all the water on my face, so everything starts running down. I'm just, like, dripping blood. And, like, this is a populated beach with, like, children and people that are just there, and it was great. We actually have a shot that John took from the side where you can see like the lighting setup and everything, and in the background you can see that there's a family doing like their family portraits, like they're all dressed in white and frolicking around the beach with their children.
Photobomb.
if I was driving down the street and I looked over and I saw a dude in a car with you, like with no context, I can't tell you're Tomb Raider, but just beat to death, I would have probably called the police or something. Like, that's good on your photographer to take that risk.
Yeah. We passed a few cops, and he was like, if we get pulled over, this is not going to be good for me.
And then your stream schedule.
Okay, so I will be on tomorrow. We're doing a late night stream because We Happy Few finally comes out tomorrow.
Oh, that's
so
right.
It drops at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will be on then. We're going to start it. We're going to play it. I might be on Friday, but I'm going to a Harry Potter concert, so we'll see.
What?
I know. Wow. I thought you might
I didn't
be
know he plays guitar.
That. What? No, they do, like, I'm doing the orchestra ones. So, like, they're going to play, like, there's a whole orchestra doing Chamber of Secrets with a movie in the background.
Oh!
I was, like, saving this so that I could make Webb jealous.
Well,
but I'm not yes, jealous. Tomorrow, 9 p.m., twitch.tv/EmmaSkies, and all of my socials are EmmaSkies. So you can find me anywhere.
I'm bummed out because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sitting on a podcast with Zombie Unicorn, so life's pretty damn good. But there is a Big Lebowski showing going on at the local movie theater that I'm missing out on.
It's right at Crest, isn't it?
Crest tonight, yeah.
I
I'm gonna have to watch. I'm gonna pull up the Blu-ray. I'll have my own private showing.
I'm gonna Apple TV.
Light a candle.
I've never seen The Big Lebowski.
Oh my god! F in the chat. Just watch it for the after show.
Can we get some F's in the chat for Emma's life? Thank you guys.
Your opinion, man.
Yay!
Donnie, you're out of your element.
She's my favorite. This has been the
good.
I am the walrus. I am the walrus.
I got to extend the thing just a little bit just to let everybody know that if you listen to the show on Twitch and you like it, you want to take us on the road with you, you can follow the show on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're everywhere you can perceivably find a podcast. You search Video Game Bang and we're there. It really helps us out if you give us the 5-star rating and some nice words always help. That's what brings us up in the SEO. We get more and more viewers and then we can do this full time. And that would be really cool. Beyond that, thank you guys so much for listening, as always. For Curtis, the real David Webb, Emma Skye, Zombie Unicorn, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.